Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. High Velocity Radio is brought to you by PSI Digital Media Experts, the market leader in delivering digital media services. From manufacturing millions of CDs and DVDs to turnkey e-commerce solutions and streaming high-definition video over their worldwide content distribution network, PSI has the solutions to meet your needs. Find PSI at psidiscs.com, psidiscs.com. The High Velocity Radio Show is where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. Produced and directed by Lee Cantor and brought to you live from Radio X Studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Stone Payton.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and joining me in the studio this morning, as always, is my good buddy and co-host, Todd Schnick. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Stone. How are you?
I am doing well, man. I see you still wearing the red and the yellow bands. Is that from the marathon thing? Are you getting involved in more causes? What's happening with you?
You need to get out a little bit more, Stone. The yellow band is the Livestrong, Lance Armstrong's. I have two cousins who are battling cancer, so this
right?
is... This is in honor of them. And in fact, one of our guests probably knows the red band. It's from Tori and John.
Oh, yeah.
And their local efforts to battle cancer. So, in fact, a quick shout out to Tori and John Westmoreland. They're the ones that recommended our first guest today. So, yeah. No, these are Cancer Awareness Stone.
And so, did they wrap his car? We'll find out in the interview.
Oh, we'll find out, sure.
I want him to wrap our car, man. Can't you see like a high velocity Mini Cooper going down the interstate?
I think that would be a good idea. Your cars need a lot of help.
Well, I've got an IT report for you. So last night, I'm going upstairs. My 13-year-old has her own computer in her bedroom, which I know a lot of parents would not be, you know, for. But I do try to check in and, you know, knock on the door and say. So I'm going in there, and she's got her webcam on, and she's combing her hair, and she's got that thing that makes the hair flatter, whatever that is, the hair straightener thing. She's combing her hair in front of the HP webcam. I said, what in the world are you doing? And she says, I'm fixing my hair for in the morning. I said, well, why are you using a webcam? This is what she says to me. I'm not going to use a mirror. Everything's backwards. She's using an HP webcam as her vanity mirror. Is that wild?
I've never heard of that, but that's actually pretty intriguing.
Isn't that an incredible app? This should be an app on the phone, too, where you could just look into it and it could be your compact.
But to find someone more savvy about the internet in the world is not difficult as far as you're concerned, Stone.
No, it's not. If you catch me saying or doing anything right with respect to technology, I learned it from my Kelly, who's 13. But I found that absolutely fascinating last night.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, we've got a great show today. We've got a lot of folks in the studio. You lined up many of them, and I'm going to let you introduce our first guest this morning. Who'd you bring with you, man?
Yeah, first up on High Velocity today is a life and business coach for men, a speaker, a trainer, and the founder of ThinkTankMen.com. Welcome, Michael Van Osch.
Thanks so much, Todd. Great to be here.
Gosh, well, once again, thanks to Tori and John Westmoreland who connected us.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I think we first connected to get you scheduled today about 4 years ago.
No,
it
seems
like it's been a long time since we...
you must be busy here, huh?
Well, we have a good time here. So, gosh, so tell us about you and your background and what you're out there doing for people.
Sure, okay. Well, Think Tank Men is the company I started a number of years ago because I saw a need both in myself in years past and other men that I was running into. A lot of men I found were either very frustrated or very bored with their work, their relationships, life in general, and it seemed to me to be such a waste of oxygen. And you know, so I decided to do something about it because my background kind of pointed to that direction. And Think Tank Men is the company I started. ThinkTankMen.com is the online obvious version of that, and I help professional men really find out what they were meant to do and then how to create their ideal lives and move forward towards those.
Well, you have a background as a marketing executive and a professional actor. So how did you start there and end up here?
Yeah, it's a bit of a long story, so I'll make it short. But, I was like a lot of guys out there who was very driven and did my MBA right after undergrad, went into the marketing and advertising world. made my way up through it fairly quickly, made a lot of money, had a great big title, all those good things, worked in Europe, you know, all those nice things that everybody we thought we wanted or I thought I wanted, and hit my mid-30s and was burned out, depressed, marriage on the rocks, in debt, you name it. And so when I finally got laid off from the advertising industry, I said, no more, that's it. And so I went through a period of over a year where it really was a real struggle to find out, okay, do I end everything here or do I need to find what I'm really supposed to do? And this is where, luckily, I found this passion for acting, which I'd never done. And so I decided in my mid-30s to become an actor. And people said,
you're smoking crack.
You can't do that. And I said to myself, you can't do that. But somehow I was able to fight through that and go from taking a first acting class to 5 years later touring the longest running one-man show in Broadway history all over North America. And so I realized that there was a way to go from boring, frustrated, depressed, not liking life to the absolute opposite. And it sounds like a bit of a commercial, but that's what led me to now coach men to do that.
So, yeah, why the focus on men? I like women better.
Yeah, I do too.
men need more help is what you're saying.
Well, if you think about it and look around, there's not a lot out there that's just for men. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there for women who are entrepreneurs, for women in general, because, you know, there's been a need for that. But the other side of it is that then from a male perspective, that's not been addressed. And my way of thinking is that even if you were brought up with great parents, great dad like I was, it doesn't mean you still learned exactly how to be the man you always wanted to be. And there's room for learning and there's room to expand what it means to be a man.
Well, it seems to be I'm finding more and more of this kind of a targeted niche for men. I mean, have you ever connected with CeCe Chapman, who is the guy behind Digital Dads?
And
it's a similar kind of a thing where it's just a space where guys can be guys, but yet as a part of that is their role in the home and taking care of kids and cooking and all that. So I mean, it seems to be a growing presence of places for men to kind of be who they really
but
are.
But don't you think men are more hard-headed than women? It strikes me that women would be a little more open and receptive to taking a different path or exploring different disciplines than men. Do you find that men are hard-headed, Michael?
Well, yeah, in some ways, definitely. But here's a newsflash for you, you know, and you alluded to this just now, Stone. You said men and women are different, all right? I mean, and that is overlooked too often. And certain ways of training or ways of dealing with women are better for them, and certain ways of training and dealing with men are better for men. And that's what I feel has been really overlooked in the public in the last 30 years. You know, there's a lot of, the typical thing to say is that men need to talk about their feelings more with their wives. All right. We always hear that. It's always the biggest thing because we want to communicate with the person we love. We want to communicate. However, that's more in the natural wheelhouse of women to do. I'm making a big generalization here, but this is the one that most people talk about. That's not as natural for men to do, right? And so one of the things that I say is that, you know, that may be a false belief to be working on, to say that men can talk about their feelings as much as women can. And I think there's a couple of problems with that. And not only is it not as natural for us, but it doesn't mean we don't want to communicate. But secondly, let's say a man does come home every day and dump all of his work problems on his wife because he needs to download and have some conversation, talk about his feelings. That doesn't do any favors to his wife. No, literally.
Yeah.
She will take it all on because that's how women are built too. They want to help. She will take it all on, and that is unfair to her to take all that on. The other side of that is that it undermines his ability to be a leader in that relationship. And that is also not popular, but very important, that there is the man who is the leader that he knows he can be.
Is our inability to communicate one of the biggest problems that we're facing, or what are some other issues that men are out there dealing with?
Well, you know, there's a lot of women are told they need to be superwomen or feel they need to be superwomen, take care of all the house, the kids, the jobs, and all that. That's not fair. That's very hard. On the men's side, there's a lot of men that feel like they need to be supermen as well. And, you know, there's the issue of making a living, but also wanting to spend time with your wife or your girlfriend and your kids and father, mother, whoever it is. So,
or your wife and girlfriend.
Well,
you got to manage that properly or the wheels will come off.
Oh, no, it'll be a mess.
I'm here to tell you.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, you know, the biggest issue that I find these days with men, in fact, I did a recent survey. Did you fill that out, by the way?
It's on my to-do list. I'm sorry.
See, men procrastinate.
That's another issue. Hey, yes, I can speak to that.
The biggest thing that men are complaining about these days is work-life balance. Okay, makes sense. But one of the things that men need to do is stop whining about the choices they make. You're making a choice every day to do this and not do that. I understand the rigors of corporate life. I was there. I understand the rigors of being an entrepreneur. I am there. But you are made by the choices you make every day. So if you're going to make a choice to be in this work position, to go to Rotary, to be involved in local politics, to do this, to do that, be on the Homeowners Association, and then whine that you don't have any time for your kids or your wife, then my attitude is change. You chose these, so choose not to.
Is that what an engagement with Michael Van Asch is about, is helping them figure out how to make that change and how to make the right kind of choices? See, I call hooey on this work-life balance thing.
Yeah.
I think if you enjoy the work you do and you find it fulfilling and it moves you, you don't need balance.
Right.
Because it's not work.
Right. And that's that leads to, I think, what the main issue for most men is that they haven't found that mission or that purpose in their life. If you love what you're doing, it's not the work that, you know, pulls you down. And you will find ways to do that and do the other. And that's I wouldn't have believed that if I didn't do it myself. And so that's what I try to go with men and say, you know, you've got to make some of these choices. You've got to look at creating, you know, stop for a minute and say, what is the vision for your ultimate life? If you don't take the time to think about it, you're certainly not going to get there. And so, you know, after you do that, you need to look at, when you're at work, what are the high payoff actions that I can do today? Get those done and then make time for other stuff. You know, it's all about choices. It's all about beginning of year, taking your calendar and say, okay, this is January 1st. I'm going to schedule in my family time or my girlfriend time or my me time throughout the year first, and then I'm going to have work come after it. And if you don't want that, then stop your damn whining.
So I want to hear about this book you got coming out. Tell us what the title of this new book is and who you're writing it for, and give us a little bit of a preview, man.
Sure. It's called How to Be a Freedom Heir, Creating and Living the Life You Imagined. And Freedom Heir is this term I came up with where it's what I wanted for myself. I wanted freedom, and I wanted, you know, freedom was the most important thing to me. So I took the word freedom, took the word millionaire, and put them together and trademarked it and said, okay, let's write about this, because that's what I had been always talking about and always writing about on my blog. So it's really about the process that I went through to find out what I was meant to do. And that changes, you know. For 10 years, it was to be a professional actor. And now I realize that that has morphed into helping men figure out what they want to do with their lives and become better men, better leaders.
It's okay to make those changes throughout life, though. Another problem is that guys think, oh, this is my lot in life and I'm stuck in it.
No. In fact, you know, if I have one message for men out there, it's the clock is ticking, right? We know the clock's ticking, but there is time and there is a way. Now is the best time in history. We've had the most change in the last couple of years since the Industrial Revolution. Now is the best time in history to say, this is what I want my life to look like, and now I'm going to go make it happen. So the clock's ticking, but there is time and there is a way. You just have to make the choice.
So, yeah, the clock is ticking. So before we let you go, please let our listeners know how they can get in touch with you, how they can get their hands on this book, man.
Sure. ThinkTankMen.com is the best way to get a hold of me. My office is here in Atlanta as well, so 404-888-0874. But thinktankmen.com, and the book we hope will be out later in the year. We're still working on different publishers, so it's not in print yet, but we're working on it.
Well, and you probably want Schnick to write the foreword, I would think.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
I would guess, definitely.
Hey, you're going to be able to hang out with us for a little while we visit with our next guest?
That sounds great. Thank you.
Well, cool. Well, the next up on High Velocity is the CEO and the founder of Sally Williamson & Associates, which is an executive coaching agency. Welcome to the show, Sally Williamson.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So it was great to have you. Tell us a little bit about your background and what you're out there doing for people.
Well, my background is journalism and PR, but for 27 years, I've been an executive coach. And our firm's niche is all around spoken communication. So we really help people in developing and delivering effective messages across lots of different audiences. So with us, you're going into the corporate world and big company meetings.
But to be a successful executive, you have to be able to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on that a little bit with our previous guest about the problems that people have with communication. I mean, what percentage of executives that you interact with have some sort of a communication flaw?
I don't know that they have a communication flaw. I'm not sure that's fair. And I would be quick to say that we work with men and women. But I think people definitely have communication challenges. And certainly when we look at somebody who's sitting at the head of the company, one of the biggest challenges they have is just the diversity in audiences, the number of audiences they're asked to be in front of, and knowing what those people want to hear and how to deliver on it.
So you are in the process of working on a book called Executive Presence. Tell us about that and when that's coming out and what the message is behind that.
So the book is actually called The Hidden Factor. And it is about executive presence, and it'll be out this summer. And the point of the book was to really define executive presence and the impact it has on people who get ahead to really lead companies and those who get left behind.
Define what executive presence is. I mean, it probably means something to everybody differently. How do you define what executive
He's
presence
He's fishing, and I'm just going to shortcut this, right? You don't have it. Is that what
No, I was pretty sure that I don't have it. But
not yet. Not till you read the book.
That's right. Well, we would say executive presence is somebody who has the confidence to present ideas with conviction and who has the desire and ability to really engage people. But the definition of it is really what makes it tricky, because in corporate America, groups struggle with that. Most people say that it's hard to define. It's a gray skill, and yet they know it when they see it.
Why are organizations interested in helping their executives, or why are executives interested in learning how to get better at that? Why is that important to them?
Well, I think it's always been important. The reason it's timely is this shift of baby boomers, retirement, and the huge gap in future leaders. And so in recent years, there has been so much focus on high potential and leadership development programs and companies to fill the gap. And as you talk to people who are running communications, who are running these huge development programs, they would tell you that one of the top needs is how to give someone executive presence.
So, you know, I mean, Todd and I were kidding around, and we kid around each other all the time. But in a real scenario, how do you go about conveying to someone, you know, you really don't have this mojo at this point? How do you communicate that? That's got to be a real dance.
Well, it's a careful one. So the first step is assessment and awareness. In most cases, you won't find someone who's gotten to a really high-profile place who doesn't have some of it. But we really start, and I think it's why there is value in an external coach, looking at videotapes, giving people an opportunity to get some feedback on how they do with key audiences and how they come across.
What's your background? What led you to be an executive coach? What experiences in life led you to be able to serve and help those people?
Well, I think it's the communication background. So the journalism piece, we do a lot of writing. And then it's been the school of hard knocks to really learn over the years how to coach someone. So it's one thing to be able to identify, yeah, you know what, you're not so good. It's another to really know how to help someone modify their skills and change them.
You conduct a series of executive presence workshops, mm-hmm. and I understand that the March ones have all been sold out, and that you've added some dates for April. So I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about that. But what I'm really particularly curious about is you talk about the this curriculum is based on the three C's of style. Tell us what those are.
Okay, so when we look at how do you coach someone to have presence, there are really three core concepts that we boil it down to. And those are the three C's. The first is the idea of confidence. And that's a skill that really speaks to when people say, you know, he or she really owns a room. They come across as if they have a right to be there. It's very much a physical presence. It's a lot about posture. It's a lot about the use of the body, of how someone really appears settled and grounded. Second C is all about commitment, someone who really has the ability to get their point across with a level of energy, intensity, involvement. And then the third C is the idea of connection, of people who really know how to engage. It's a very authentic impression, someone who really knows how to move a group of people.
What's the hardest one to teach?
Oh, by far the third one. Because the first two are skills that are specific to the individual, and the third is a lot about giving that up and focusing more on what the listener needs.
And so how do you measure, or do you really attempt to measure, return on investment in these services? Do you share anecdotes where it's really helped people out, or how do you go about building that business case?
Yeah, so we share a lot of stories, certainly. We have executives who talk to other executives, but I think the impact of what we do at the level we're doing it is very measurable. Because when you take the head of the company, and if his message is well received, that plays out tenfold over the whole year as his message is memorable and is impactful.
How has the modern world of marketing impacted the work that you're doing? You've got 2 billion videos watched a day on YouTube, and this hyper-connected internet, and where there's so much information going back and forth, and it's harder and harder to be noticed in that morass. How does that impact your work? Or does it make it easier?
No, I would say for the executive who has to do it, it makes it much harder because they feel as if it's 24/7. In fact, one of the things we haven't talked about is what really led to the book was research that we did last summer, where we brought in 400 top executives and talked to them about presence and the impact on their world. And what they say is it's so much harder because they're asked to be a part of so many different mediums, to touch so many people, that it is 24/7. People want a response immediately, and not everybody. Most are not great off the cuff. And so learning to do that, I think, is probably why you're seeing our business grow so rapidly.
I get it. I mean, because the growth of video, for mm-hmm. instance, has never been easier to be able to communicate a message, bits of information to an audience. Mm-hmm. But you have to be on 24/7. And that's mm-hmm. probably difficult for a lot of people to adjust to.
It is, and I think one of the things that was most surprising to us as we went out and talked to executives, so many people believe that sense of presence is just innate, that people become leaders because they just have this aura about them. And what 98% of those folks came back and said is, no, it's not. It is very deliberate. And that is the hard part, is thinking intentionally about what you have to bring to the party and knowing consistently how to bring it.
So I want to hear a little bit more about the process. Let's say I write you a check right now today to get Todd in shape.
It's going to be a big check.
It's going to be a lot of damn money.
Okay, so maybe it's only a deposit. But walk us through that process. What are some things, some early exercises or activities in which you might have him engage?
So first we have to build awareness with Todd. We're going to have to sit down and look at some videos with him. We're going to have to observe him a little bit and raise awareness of impressions. So this is all about impressions of how others perceive you and where do those perceptions come from. Second big step is we're going to focus on core skills. So if there are impressions, and my guess is they'd all be very positive, but if there were just a few things we identified, we'd have to look at, so how would we improve those skills? Interestingly, it's going to come down to the use of the body and the use of the voice. and we would work with him on core skills to improve that. And then finally, the third step is then we take those core skills and we actually apply them to situations. So let's assume Todd is running a big company, as I assume he is.
Oh, of course.
We would follow him. We're going to go with him as he does media interviews, as he does analyst meetings, as he stands in front of employees, as he stands in front of shareholders, helping him consistently apply those core skills across lots of different situations. And the idea is that it becomes easier for him. He adapts it, and he knows exactly what makes an impact for him.
I noticed in your workshop, and I suspect in your long-term engagements, that you use a lot of video coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back in my old political days when I would be coaching my candidates, I would do all kinds of video coaching to help prepare them for debates and media interface. I bet you get some interesting outcomes and experiences from some of those video coaching enterprises.
Well, you do. And back to the question about, so how do you approach this conversation? You know, video really helps because once you have a picture, it's a little hard to argue about what works and what
doesn't.
Well,
that could be another revenue stream for you, all the video that you capture before they're good. And then not releasing that for a certain fee structure.
You charge a fee for that. Yeah, that's a great. I don't know if you thought about
you
that.
Funny you should ask. Well, I have because, you know, when groups come to workshops by the middle of the day, that's their first question. So what happens to those tapes when we leave?
So that's why Stone doesn't work because I'm paying them off all the time. So
say more about this book that you've got coming out. How did you organize that and what are some of the high points that you cover with that piece?
Oh, the book is full of high points, as you might imagine.
Oh, yeah. We have no doubt.
So the book, you know, what drove the book is, as I said, I've coached presence. I've coached communication skills for 27 years. But this heightened concern about presence and this priority of it's missing, it really drove us to go figure out, so what do you mean when you say presence in companies? Has it really had an impact? And does what we do align with what people think they need? So that was really the objective of the book. The book sets out first to define presence, not just through our eyes and our expertise, but insights from all of these executives who were interviewed. Then the book gives the fundamentals of coaching from us. We wanted to bust the myth that it's not an innate skill. It's a very coachable skill, and we spend a fair amount of time describing how we do it. And then we talk a lot in the book about current situations. You've asked some questions about that, about current challenges, and we talk very specifically about how we work on some of those areas.
What's been the most surprising thing you've learned through all this work?
Still a lack of willingness to accept feedback. So, you know, some come to us because they recognize that it's a weakness. Many come to us because someone else has recognized that it's a weakness.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. And I think what was most intriguing in talking to so many different CEOs, leaders of companies, is that they all say, although their paths have been different, they were open to feedback. They listened when somebody told them they weren't good, and they adjusted.
That's why they're now CEOs.
That's exactly right.
Well, and I think maybe we should give a little shout out to your PR person because that's one of the ways that you get on our screen. But her name is Elizabeth Fairley, and Todd and I know her because she's recommended other wonderful, interesting guests. But my question is, when did you decide and why did you decide to take on professional expertise to help you with your public relations, and how's it working out so far?
Oh, Elizabeth's great.
I mean, she got you on this show.
That's yeah. Right. Well, there you, I mean, what else you want? Egg in your beard?
I think that's a bonusable activity. In my
yes, yes. I mean, what could top this, right?
So what drove the decision, though, and how are you guys working together these days?
The book. So, you know, the book was driven by clients who asked for it. It is just one more thing to take on to try and produce a book on top of running a business like this. And so we knew that we needed somebody great like Elizabeth to really own the noise about the book.
I think that's terrific. We're doing an inside PR series on Atlanta Business Radio, and we're talking to a lot of PR people and their clients, and I'm always fascinated at what drives that decision, and then how the thing works day to day. But it sounds like you're having a really positive experience so far.
I hope you're talking to Elizabeth. You going to have Elizabeth on the show?
Oh, I'm sure we will.
I think we should. Absolutely. So right. How can we get our hands on this book? And if we know someone who we feel could possibly use a little assistance in this arena, or if we're willing to be a little more introspective and look at ourselves and get some guidance on developing a better executive presence, what's the best way for us to get in touch with you?
Todd, I think that was a thinly veiled hint.
Everything he says is a thinly veiled hint.
But the way that you reach us, best way is our website, and it's www.sallywilliamson.com. The book will be out in the summer, and I'd be surprised if the website didn't tell you everything about the book.
Well, put me down for two of those books. I want one Kindle version that I can download to my new Jim Jammy phone, and then I have another one that I may give to someone very close
to me.
You
won't be able to actually use it.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll send you a hard copy since we've heard about the technical skills.
Fair enough. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you'll come back sometime, and I'm thinking, Todd, I think it'd be a lot of fun to have Sally back with one of her clients to talk through that process. Would you be willing to do that sometime?
Sure.
All right. Fun stuff. Can you hang out with us a little bit while we visit with our last guest this morning?
Sure, we'd love to.
Okay. Well, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the gentleman with Lightyear Network Solutions. I met him like I meet most of my business contacts. Actually, okay, so this was a little bit different. He's situated very conveniently right next to the Quiznos, I believe, in the shopping center down the street. And so I wandered in there. We got to talking about his business. Welcome to the show, Mike Feely.
Thank you, Stone.
Well, we're delighted to have you, man. And I understand you brought the real brains behind the outfit with you, Dave. I don't know Dave's last name, but we're going to get to hear from Dave, too, right?
Dave Pierce.
All right. So, Mike, tell us a little bit about your organization and what you guys are out there doing for folks, man.
Well, I'll start with my background is quite varied. I started off in law enforcement up in Massachusetts and found myself interested in all the technical aspects of the radio system and various things like that. And then my wife and I moved down to Atlanta, and I got involved in construction. And in the construction side of things, I was always very interested in smart homes and all the technology that can make the homes better and so forth. And I found myself always sort of going in. Interesting listening to Michael talk, because I found myself going in the same direction no matter what job I was doing. I was interested in the technical side of whatever it was. So eventually, Dave and I, we met when I was doing construction, and we became friends, and I knew his level of expertise in technology was abundant. And we've always talked about getting involved in business together and decided to finally do it. And so I basically take care of sales, and Dave does the technical aspect of things and engineering of the different solutions. So basically what we do is we go into companies and we evaluate what they currently have in technology services, internet, phone systems, their networking, all the different types of things like that. And we find ways to take what our dealerships can provide us. You know, we have different companies, Lightyear Network, Clear Professional. We have a lot of different other sources of new technology that Dave will expand on the more technical side of things. But we basically give the company a physical, and we look at what they're doing, and a lot has changed in the past year to 2 years. Tremendous amount of things have changed. And most companies don't reevaluate how they operate technically.
Once they get it set up, they just leave it alone, right?
Exactly. It's working, yeah. And they just roll on down the road. And so the most difficult thing for us is to be able to get to the right person and say, you know, what do you have now? What do you need? Any problems, whatever. We'll look it over, and we'll find out ways that we can combine. You know, our niche is we take like Clear Professional, and we use their phone system on a Lightyear Network internet solution. We find ways to combine, think outside of just one solution from one company. We find a product from this company and a product from that company, put them together in a sort of unique solution that's custom made for that business.
And we should say right now, I was actually reading from the backside of your card, so your services are broader and wider than I first indicated. You're actually with Procom Advisors, and the Lightyear Network Solutions is just one of the ways that you can serve customers. You also mentioned Clear Professional, which I'm sure we'll hear more about. And I'm hearing a little bit of Marky Mark Wahlberg in that accent. Is that just me? Or is that just my headphones? Or
well, I think he's from Phoenix.
Yeah. Born in southern Alabama.
Yeah.
Now, I spent 32 years in Massachusetts, so I think that's going to be with me forever, I think.
Well, Dave, I spend an awful lot of my time on the social web. I mean, I do all my marketing on Twitter and Facebook and all that. And so I'm in this echo chamber where everybody else there spends a lot of time there, too. But I think it's fair to assume that most of the world isn't quite there yet. Is that a fair? When you go into these new these new prospects. I mean, how old school are some of these guys? I mean, are you spending all your time educating them on some very basic stuff?
Very much so. Typically, we go into a smaller business, usually 50 people or below is really our target market where our product can help the most. And what we're finding, just the other day, found some people still running Windows 98.
Oh.
People get very...
Is that bad?
that explains some things.
Their software package was, about 14 years old that they were using, and they just never upgraded. They got complacent and just never bothered to upgrade, until, jump right into the 2000s and get new software where they could better run their business. Of course, they were paying $1,000 for their internet service, and the prices have dropped so much now you can get the same service for $400. So I guess our niche would be to go in and show these people what they can do.
That's a big part of what you guys do, though, is just educate people about the possibilities.
Oh, very much so.
Productivity and efficiency.
Very much so. And if they have older systems, we go and put new systems in for them and things of that nature as well. So we've got a pretty broad swath we carry to help smaller business people out and to really get a hold of technology.
Well, it's going to be an absolute non-issue after today that you've been on the High Velocity Radio Show. But prior to the day, how did you go to market? How do you reach the people that you're trying to serve?
Well, there's a lot of door knocking, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. A lot of door knocking, especially on the smaller business, because the knowledge is not out there for them to go seek things like this. So it's a lot of door knocking, a lot of advertising. Some of our vendors actually send us people that they know are problems. We end up cleaning a lot of things like that as well. But it's a lot of door knocking. Not a lot of these smaller businesses have IT people. And what they do, they get charged by the hour, very expensive charges. And they just do not seek better technology or faster technology, just due mostly to price constraints.
Mike, so we have a lot of small business people that listen to this show. So list out a few things that are the common challenges or problems that they're facing that would be a wake-up call to them and say, oh, shoot, I probably need to call these guys. What are the common challenges you're finding out there?
If they're running a system that's 2 years old or older, they definitely need to reevaluate that system, whatever it is, whether it's internet, a phone system. There's been such tremendous change in both of those areas relative to pricing and relative to ability that small businesses can have just an amazing suite of services in a phone system that is not an on-site phone system. It's not super expensive, but it does all the things that the old expensive phone systems did and more. Interestingly enough, I think that the number one customer for us is the customer who's actually doing well, making money, having a profit, because they're not reevaluating like the company that's saying, how am I going to make the next 6 months?
Right.
So that company who's making money, has been doing it for a while, doing well, they're the ones that really need the evaluation because they can save money. They're using a system that's been working, and they're not looking to evaluate it and change it.
So there's virtually no one that they start working with you, they're not going to be spending more money month to month. If they work with you, in almost every case, they're probably going to be making a lower investment month to month. Is that generally the case?
That's generally the case. Although we do have customers who have their needs have increased, but their systems haven't, and they've just sort of made it work. And we can come in and we can show them a far better way to do it for a small increase in price. But you're right. Most people, we can save them a lot of money.
So did you choose, and if so, why did you choose Clear Professional and Lightyear Network Solutions? There's got to be other folks in that arena. What compelled those specific choices? Why partner with those guys?
Clear Professional is an interesting product. It's a wireless internet service. And most people in Atlanta know that. We sell all over the country, but it's a wireless, high-speed wireless internet connection. So it doesn't need to have a big install. But it's only good for a certain size company. A larger company, you're going to have to, like in this building, for example, you're going to have far greater ability to move information than Clear Professional can handle. So that's we go over to Lightyear Networks, where they have T1s and a lot of high volume, we call big pipe internet systems that we can bring into. So it depends. We needed to have a solution for anybody that came to us, whether it was a small business of five people or a company of 100. We had to have the ability to offer them something.
And do you find that a lot of people come to you from Quiznos next door, or was that an anomaly?
No, that's strictly an anomaly.
Again, everything Stone does is strictly an anomaly.
But we do have a storefront down in Sandy Springs. We sell Clear Residential and DirecTV, and we have a little storefront as well. But in the back are the offices for the B2B side of things, and that's where Dave and I spend most of our time.
Dave, before the show, we were talking about this evolution towards the cloud.
Right.
And that a lot of people think, oh, I can't do this because I have to spend money in these big fancy-schmancy servers and all that. And one of the reasons why this stuff is actually affordable is because of this evolution of the cloud. Speak more to that and what that means and where that's all going, what's the trends there.
Okay, the cloud is basically where you have all your data stored in a data center. You have high-speed connectivity to it, and it acts just as though the systems were there in your office. This lends itself a lot better to smaller businesses because they do not have to maintain servers. They do not have to have the high IT bills from vendors. And I believe you've heard of, like, Salesforce.com. Mm-hmm. That has taken the place. That is a hosted application. It's at a data center, and that has taken the place of these huge customer service software packages that people were spending tens of thousands of dollars on. And basically, you just rent the software and it's hosted off-site. Lends itself a lot better for money management, cash management, and capital expenses just to have all that stuff off-site. What we would provide for them is a larger, faster internet pipe to get there. While the internet may cost more, their total cost of operation will come down a great deal. So this whole cloud thing, which is coined the term at, it sounds like it's just setting out in the air somewhere, but it's not. It's large data centers. We have dozens here in Atlanta. We have a phone system that can actually do the same thing. So you do not have these large devices hanging on your walls and have to pay different bills to AT&T for your phone lines, voicemail. You have to have those things services. We have a cloud-based phone system, basically, for lack of a better term, hosted PBX, where you could just plug in and you have your voicemail, email, auto attendance, everything that you can program from there. But moving everything out for a smaller business tends to give better cost savings to the actual owners.
My entire life, my entire existence is in the cloud. If they were to flip the switch and shut the internet down tomorrow, I would be wandering aimlessly through the desert. Is that future secure? I mean, is that only going to just get stronger and better? I mean, I just worry about this. I mean, I've tossed out truckloads of software to manage stuff that I now just store on Google Docs.
Okay.
I mean, is that future secure?
If you're defining security, you're talking about the actual possession of the data.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, one thing the cloud does is it has your data in several different places. You know, Google, take for example Google Apps, which a lot of our clients use and what we use as well for email. It's spread over several data centers. And each one of those data centers, if one fails, can take over for the other. Your information is in different places. Now, they too, as you probably read in the news a couple of days, have their problems. They lost 200,000 email boxes, but they were able to get it back within 24, 48 hours. So if that happens to you and your server, your chances of getting it back are very slim. Even with good backup and stuff, it's still going to take you a while to do it, and it probably will never be the same, being that they can take snapshots of it every 5 minutes or whatever in these large data centers in the cloud. You have a lot better chance of keeping all your data together and
so
handy.
So a small business person can rest assured knowing that their stuff is safe when they store it in the cloud.
That's correct. As far as the data security and backup and stuff like that, it's a lot better solution for a smaller business than it would be to host their own servers, yes.
So how do we know as a small business, like Business Radio X or Intrepid Marketing, how do we know if it's time or not to give Mike and Dave a call? What are some signs that, hey, we probably ought to be revisiting this whole thing?
They got up out of bed this morning and looked out the window. We give a free evaluation to anyone who wants it. We will not sell anybody anything they don't need. If they don't need us, we'll just shake hands, walk away, give them a card, and say, if you know anybody, here you go. Send them our way. But everyone like Mike alluded to earlier, that's been around for over 2 years, needs at least a checkup. You know, you go get a physical every year, supposedly. You go to the dentist every 6 months. Your IT systems are just the same. You need to go and have an evaluation to see if there's any underlying issues you may not know of or any way we could save you money.
Mike, you were talking about every previous venture you've been involved in, you're always looking ahead to where technology was going. What's coming next? What's the next big thing in the next couple of years that's going to radically overhaul how we do business?
Well, that's a great question, and it's too far out 2 years.
I think we already covered this at the top of the show. It's the HP webcam vanity mirror. Did we not already cover this? I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. It changes are coming so rapidly right now that 2 years out, I don't think anybody really knows what that's going to be. It is coming fast and furious, and it's going to pick up speed as time goes on. I would actually default to Dave on that because there's far more technical advances coming along that are being being worked on at this point in time that he'd be more inclined to know about.
I think the biggest shift you're going to see is everything going to the cloud.
Everything.
If you've looked at some of the new Google OS stuff, basically it's a browser on a computer, and everything goes out to pick information up from the cloud. Very small storage space. You've probably seen the new Motorola phone that sits in a dock, and you've got a full keyboard just like a laptop, and you use your phone as that. As the processors, according to Moore's Law, go up every 18 months, doubling speed, you're going to see smaller and smaller devices along with battery technology getting better and other things that will, your computer will become the size of a cell phone, and you just dock it, and you carry all your information with you, backed up to the cloud, stuck in your pocket, and you can go from computer to computer doing it.
I can envision a day not too far from now where we're going to laugh at people who have a laptop.
Oh yes.
God, look at that old school. Stone will probably be the last guy.
Me
have
and
a laptop.
Gordon Gekko, right?
Yeah.
With speech recognition, that's pretty hard for me growing up in North Georgia. It doesn't pick up a lot of my words sometimes.
Google, you ought to see what Google Voice does with this guy's messages.
It has a hard time with mine, too.
So I see that coming in the future as to most things being hosted on the cloud and computers becoming more of laptops becoming more of a novelty, the $200-$300 range, just as a dock for your smartphone. And as you can see, Apple is leading the way on a lot of that, and so is Motorola with this new Atrix they've got.
Is it all going to be tablets?
I don't know. It really depends on your interface. We put tablets in a lot of medical offices before, and they didn't like them because they didn't have a keyboard. So you're going to have to break old habits first. So it comes with the individuals, how you were raised. I didn't touch a computer until I was 20 years old. Now my niece is 9 and has 2 of them and an iPad.
Does she have an HP regular?
I suppose she does. I don't really know. I saw her this weekend. All she was doing was tapping on her iPad when she came to see me this weekend.
So how can our listeners get in touch with you and have a conversation about this stuff, man? Maybe it's time for them to revisit the way they're set up.
Sure. You can email us at sales@procomadvisors.com. Our website is currently being rebuilt. We have sort of just a parked website right now. We had up for a while, and we took it down, and we're rebuilding it to a newer, better, faster version. Or the phone number, 404-856-0454, the local number here in Atlanta. You can call us anytime. And I'd be happy to come out and give you, anybody gets a free evaluation. We'll just come in, check it out. In the worst case scenario, we'll let you know that you actually have the best system that you should have, and it's good to know that too.
Yeah, well, we're going to take you up on that here at Business Radio X, as you know, because we need to people to be wired in the green room and be able to check their email and stuff while they're waiting to come on the show or after they hang out after the show. So thanks, guys, so much for coming on.
Thanks,
that was
Stone.
Great. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, Todd Schnick, our guests this morning, Michael Van Osch, Sally Williamson, Mike Feely, Dave Pierce, and our producer, Lee Cantor, and everyone here at the Radio X family, saying we'll see you in the fast lane.